Good morning. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us on this Valentine's Day. It is Love Day. Stephen A. Smith, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, Monica McNutt. I'm Molly Karam. How are we feeling, guys?
That's what red represents.
Come on.
Represents love.
It's just hilarious to me. Yeah. Honestly, people can win at home. The two women on the set were decked out.
Even
my shoes are red,
yes.
Right? We go all out. My earrings are hearts, which I haven't put on yet. Yeah. Right. And then these two.
I thought it was St. Patty's Day. That's why I wore the green tie.
No.
You were sick yesterday, so I'll give you an excuse.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, y'all. To all the ladies out there, happy Valentine's Day, number one. Number two, men everywhere know this holiday is not about us.
Exactly.
It's about y'all. You understand what I'm saying? We have nothing to do with it. It's bad enough that the other 364 days out of the year, we have no rights whatsoever.
Exactly.
I mean, y'all run the world. We all know what time it is. I mean, smart men know women are the ones with the real power. We just live in y'all world. Really? You know, we want our big piece of chicken, as they say. We just want our big piece of chicken every now and then, okay? It's y'all world. We're just squirrels. You understand what I'm saying? It's who we are. We accept it. But on this day, more so than any other day, it is definitely all about y'all. And by the way, I must say, hold on to this moment.
Yeah.
You ain't getting it again. Y'all do look quite lovely.
Wow. Look at that.
Thank you.
Look at that.
Quick PSA, man.
Hey,
don't go home empty handed.
Yes. Eminem, hold on, Molly. Yeah. Eminem.
Come on.
You heard me, Christopher Russo? Don't go home empty handed.
My wife had one heck of a time last week Vegas.
Get some flowers.
You too.
Get some chocolates.
Trips, daughter.
It's not about flowers. It's not about chocolate. It's about waking up. It's about looking at them and saying, happy Valentine's Day. You know, I know this is your day. I love you, baby. And outside of that, also making sure that the other 300 plus days, you don't save that one day to be special. You make all years special. That's why he can get away with doing what he did last week. He did it last week. You understand?
I was a good husband last week.
Is there a special Valentine's Day episode of the Stephen A. Smith Show coming?
You should.
You really should. You need to break it down.
Right.
It wasn't. That'll be this afternoon.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We got a major story in the association, so let's dive in right now here. In the 24-hour window prior to the trade deadline last Thursday, the Warriors made an unsuccessful bid to convince the Lakers and LeBron to consider a trade to pair him with longtime rival Stephen Curry. Sources told Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne the Warriors were eager to present a deal package to L.A., but neither the Lakers nor James were ultimately willing to explore a potential blockbuster trade. An excerpt from Woj and Ramona's story on .com reads, Buss told the Lakers had no desire to trade James, but that he would need to seek the answer on James' state of mind from his agent, Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul, sources said. Now, as an owner, Buss has operated with the mindset that she wants her star players content with the franchise and instructed her thinking on referring Warriors leadership to James' representation, sources said. Okay, Stephen A., should LeBron have wanted to team up with Steph and the Warriors?
I'd say yes, simply because Steph Curry, is the greatest shooter God ever created. And LeBron James having somebody like Steph Curry to kick the ball to would have been absolutely fantastic. Now, according to my sources, because you know I'm not going to just sit up there and is as great and phenomenal as Woj is. You know, I've been covering the NBA for decades, so I kind of know a few people. The story was absolutely true. It was certainly that the Warriors were looking to pursue. And, you know, according to other sources, Rich Paul killed that deal. Rich Paul didn't want that to happen. That's what I'm hearing. In fairness to Rich Paul, I haven't spoken to him, haven't had time to speak to him this morning, so I don't know whether to confirm that or whatever. In fairness to Rich Paul, we want to make sure that we're clear about that. But obviously, when you think about all the things that LeBron has going on, Tinseltown would be a lot better than San Francisco. And I'm quite sure that no matter what Rich Paul may have wanted to do, for people out there to say that Rich Paul basically killed it, you have to take into consideration Rich Paul's not going to kill a damn thing that LeBron doesn't want him to kill. Mm-hmm. So if it was killed by Rich Paul, therefore it was killed by LeBron James. Having said all of that, I think that highlights an issue that we can't ignore any longer. We have to wonder how happy LeBron James is with Lakers management. And by Lakers management, I'm thinking Pelinka more than Jeannie Buss. Jeannie Buss is absolutely phenomenal. Everybody loves Jeannie. We all know this. But in the same breath, if you're LeBron James, you're looking at the team. You're wondering about what exactly is being done to position you for title contention. And you're looking at some things and seeing what y'all are lacking, and you're wondering whether or not that's an ideal situation for you in L.A. In the end, to answer the question again directly, however, I would tell you, LeBron James, if there is one person on the planet he should want to play with, it would be Steph Curry, the greatest shooter God has ever created. There is nobody above Steph Curry. And LeBron James being who he is and what he brings to the table, having that brother to kick the ball to, Lord have mercy. It would have been special. It was a nice dream. It did not come true, but the Warriors did attempt to make it happen. Woj is absolutely right. It happened. It's just that it got nixed.
I beg to differ on the shooting. I saw Bill Sharman. He didn't. He might be on that.
What year was that?
The 50s. He was good.
Oh, the 50s.
I'm happy that LeBron vetoed this. You know what? He's bounced around a lot. He's chased championships a lot. This is good that he's going to stay in L.A. The team, you know, last year got to a conference final. He's obviously got Antonio Davis, who he brought in there to himself. Anthony Davis, who he brought in there himself. You don't want to bail out on him. That's not the right thing to do either. To go chase another championship, to me, was not the right way to do it. Fix what's going on right now in L.A. So I think he made the right move. Plus the fact he's never going to leave L.A. It's his billion-dollar empire. He loves Southern California. His kid goes to USC. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not leaving L.A. So I think it was a pipe dream anyway by the Warriors and probably a little act of desperation. But I'm glad LeBron said no. And it sounds like it was a firm, though. Mm-hmm. You know, he had no interest in it. Let me give you a day to think about it. Sounds like he wanted nothing to do with it. And good for him, because he went Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, L.A. I mean, now we're going to go to Golden State to chase another championship. I didn't like it, so I'm fine with what he did. Good for him.
Mm. It made me laugh. I thought this was hysterical. This takes the concept of super team to another level, even though both of these guys are well into their NBA careers, better than a decade for Steph and, of course, 2 decades now for LeBron. I couldn't help but think for the moment, if this were to happen, whose team would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that just, and I, because of our job, that popped up in my head.
Let's stop. No, it's not. No, it's not. Let me tell you why. It's an interesting subject, but it ain't no question.
Tell me.
You go to Golden State, there's only one man, and that's Steph Curry.
Yeah, but
now, even if LeBron went there.
Correct.
Steph Curry, there's no one who would supersede Steph Curry in the Bay.
Okay. It's hard to bring this guy up. But in the context of the Warriors championships, we have heard this debate when it comes to the time that Kevin Durant spent there.
Yeah, but Kevin Durant was seen. No, that wasn't. That's not accurate.
Okay, tell me.
Kevin Durant was seen as the better player.
Copy.
But the team,
okay,
the town was Steph.
Okay.
Steph, and I'll give you the proper comparison. I'm not talking about Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, Jeter and him.
But
hold on.
But Jeter, it was always Jeter.
100%.
Go Jeter.
I'm not trying to spread rumors or bring up strife or beef. I know it was a long time ago. But wasn't there some talk that there were some issues with how Steph was treated versus KD because it was Steph's team? Like, that's a real conversation
if
LeBron was there.
No, what I'm saying is that when you asked the question about whose team it would be, it was always Steph's team. And it will always be Steph's team as long as he's there. You might have, I'm not questioning, like Kevin Durant was clearly the better of the three. Kevin Durant was better than Steph Curry. Kevin Durant was better than Klay Thompson. But it was Steph's team.
I got you.
That's all I'm talking about there. In other words, they move as Steph moves. When you talk about the Golden State Warriors and what they prioritize making happy, it was never KD. It wouldn't be LeBron if LeBron came there. It would always be about Steph. I mean, it's so thick up in Golden State. There was a moment last year when the team needed a couple of players to make an appearance on behalf of the team. The players said, we got to get the okay from 30. Everyone understands it's Steph. They literally said the players, the team, the owner, I'm talking the administration. We need the players to make an appearance. And the team said, we got to get the okay from the 30. It's understood.
I got you. Now, those two have such a tremendous level of respect for one another.
Yes.
I do not see it ever
been a problem.
Right, between them. But I just thought in the way that we would then look back at history. But I agree with you, Doggy. I get it. And maybe on the one hand, there's something to be said if LeBron were to be able to win a championship with another organization right. in terms of his history. But I think at this point in his career, there are so many other things that play into the basketball of it all. And he is still a guy that guys want to play
with. Do you agree that he didn't entertain it at all?
No, I think it's something. First of all, I don't care who you are. If somebody comes to you, particularly if you're still great, yeah. which LeBron is, and they said, how you feel about playing about with Steph? And you know it's a possibility. You have to think about that. You got to sleep on it. You can't just definitively say no.
And I
assure you, but again, Steph is so spectacular. If you are great, yeah. you believe it automatically gives you an opportunity because he's so great, okay? And then you got, if LeBron is going to sit up there and dismiss this, I promise you it wasn't for basketball reasons. I promise you it yeah. was because yeah. your son's at USC. You got another son that's about to go to college. You've established yourself in Tinseltown. You've got a lot of other interests that extend and expand far beyond that basketball, and that's why you do it. I promise you it wasn't because of basketball reasons that LeBron James ain't with Steph Curry.
It's not like they're asking him to go to Miami and he's got to get a cross-country flight. It's a 45-minute plane ride. You can still live in L.A. and go up there.
It's not like that. When the time away from folks because you have to be committed to this, that gets taken into consideration. Yes, you would have to go there, but you still have to take a flight there. You're not around your family as much as you like. You're not coming home after the games and chilling with them and doing Taco Tuesdays and all of this other stuff. No, that stuff kind of matters to somebody like LeBron James. We understand it. We respect it.
And I tell you, he would have been hurting Anthony Davis. He leaves Anthony Davis. He brought Anthony Davis in there.
He doesn't owe Anthony Davis. He doesn't owe Anthony Davis anything.
You're going to do that to Anthony Davis?
Excuse me.
I wouldn't be happy with that.
Anthony Davis is a phenomenal player.
Right.
A phenomenal star. And I'm proud of him in the way that he has played this year. He deserves all the props. I expect him to be out for at least 30 games by now. And the man ain't.
Just compliment him. Come on.
But. Anthony Davis, to be clear, owes LeBron. It ain't the other way around.
They both won a championship together.
But since the championship has been won together, Anthony Davis spent the next 4 years averaging 28 missed games a year. LeBron James has been in the thick of things. LeBron James, one would argue, has easily carried the Los Angeles Lakers to relevancy over the last couple of years, more so than Anthony Davis. No, he's not old.
I disagree with that.
Anthony Davis is not old anything.
I didn't say he's old anything. It's just not the right thing to do.
You
did say it's the right thing to do.
But do you think he let LeBron down at all?
Well, he was injured. I mean, that's a different scenario than just, hey, Anthony, we're not good enough. I'll see you. Have a nice time. I'm going to go play with Curry. That's a little weak. That's not weak to you. That's a little weak.
He didn't
How about
do
staying
it.
There? Well, thank God.
He is.
He didn't
nah,
do it.
He's good. He's
he
doing the right thing. That's what I said. Thank you, Monica. Yeah. Good job.
There's nothing right. wrong with staying in Southern California.
The other part
you
of
You know
this.
What I thought about? I was like, when you flew back, I'm like, this is just what we need. The guy flies back. He's been on the West Coast for like a couple weeks, and it's a blizzard. I'm like, I'm not going to hear the end of it. He's probably so mad right now. Am I right?
Unfortunate.
That was part of it. The biggest part is that I got sick because they had me out there freezing. I was very, very ticked off for a couple of days because I've prioritized. I prioritized my health. I've been in phenomenal shape. I've been feeling better than I felt in the last 30 years. And then they'd have me freezing outside. I was very, very.
Well, let me just tell y'all.
Oh, it's not going to happen again.
Y'all were cute, though.
Many people apologize to us.
No.
I mean, I was the one tremoring.
Y'all didn't check the weather? What's wrong with y'all?
Yeah,
I knew it was going to be cold in Vegas. You can't trust them folks.
I was there.
I mean, I love our team, but come on now.
I was there the following day. It was perfect.
No, Thursday.
It was cold.
Stephen A.
I've been sick since Thursday. Molly said I felt sympathetic, but we can move on. Right. Molly was out there shivering.
One thing before we get to that. We get to football and the Chiefs. Do you have one of your rants today?
I got a couple coming in.
You do? You're going to tell us why you're mad later?
Oh, yeah.
Even on Love Day, you're going to do
Oh,
that?
The heck with that. Who cares about Valentine's Day?
Let's no see. Shots at Valentine's
wow.
Day.
Wow. All right.
You
got,
I promise you, he ain't thinking about Valentine's
Day. Oh, okay.
Day. Him? Please.
No.
He is not thinking about it at all.
Unless it's a heart-shaped gummy, he's not into it. Monica will be back here with us. Okay, let's get back to what went down in Vegas. So the Kansas City Chiefs felt the confetti fall on their faces Sunday night, and now that part will continue on a float through Kansas City. Going to back-to-back is epic, but three in a row is even more. Those names get fewer and fewer in the history books. So the Chiefs have three Super Bowl wins in the last five seasons, becoming the fourth different team and sixth instance overall of a team to win three Super Bowls. in a 5-year span. Do we have Marcus Spears? Oh, there he is.
Swaggoo,
you're
What's
not in
up?
Red
What's
either?
Up, family?
What's the deal? Come on. How we doing? All right, we'll get into it.
No.
Oh, my goodness. You look ridiculous.
You look great, Molly
Thanks.
Q.
Thanks.
Way to get up on the holiday.
Thanks. You guys are too much. All right, Swaggoo, we'll start with you. Does Mahomes need a number one wide receiver to three-peat?
No, he does not. And usually when we have these conversations, obviously you think about going into the offseason and improvement, but we saw him do it 2 years in a row. Now, they didn't have a number one receiver 2 years ago. Juju was better, obviously, but it was about Travis Kelce. If we just specifically talking about the wide receiver part, we just need guys to catch the ball. He's going to put it in their hands. That was the issue this year. That's why we thought. Well, I thought that the Kansas City Chiefs were not going to win a Super Bowl. It's because of the guys that was around Patrick Mahomes. We talked about that ad nauseum. But his greatness, it cannot be put into a box anymore. This was the worst team offensively that the Kansas City Chiefs have had in this run where they've been to 6 AFC championships and have won 3 out of the 4 Super Bowls that they play in. This is the worst offense. They won't be this bad next year. These guys will get better, but now they have a little bit more cap room. They got to figure out the tackles if they're going to retread those guys. But Mahomes does not need a number one receiver, and he's probably the only guy in the NFL that does not. If you consider Travis Kelce to be that weapon, which I do because we saw it in the playoffs, that's perfect. But a wide receiver number one, no, he doesn't need one.
Listen, you never put anything past Mahomes, but Swaggoo, he could use another wide receiver. They were lucky this year in a lot of cases. They could have lost to Buffalo. They didn't have as good a regular season. And let's face it, the other game the other day was a coin flip game. And I love Mahomes, and he did a wonderful job. We've talked about this a lot. He's the greatest of all time in my eyes. But, you know, they were somewhat fortunate to win the game. So I do think he needs another one. I think they need a little improvement there. Let's not also forget the fact that Kelce next year is a year older. I mean, 34, 35 years of age. Eventually, he's going to wear down. Now, one thing about the three-peat. All right, please, I'm getting a little tired on the three-peat because they all said after the game on Sunday, three-peat this, three-peat that would be the first team to three. Well, hold on now. Time out. You're not the first team. The Green Bay Packers won 3 in a row. All right, they won 66, first Super Bowl. They won in 67, and they won in 65. There you see them in 65. What, you think somehow the Green Bay Packers were not going to beat the Buffalo Bills in 1965 and if the AFL was in the Super Bowl? So the idea that, well, you know, we'd be the first one in the Super Bowl era, nonsense. Green Bay won 2 in the Super Bowl era, and they would have won a third, but there wasn't the Super Bowl in 65. Right. Buffalo stunk.
How many years ago was that?
Hold on now, 66, 67, Molly.
It has nothing to do with the you know, how many years ago was that. Here's what it has to do with. The Super Bowl era.
My point is,
that is not the Super Bowl era.
Why they won 2 of the 3 that way? And then 65, they would have won the game.
But you can't bring up an era that didn't exist yet.
Yes, it did. But Steve, it's 20 years. It's not the 3.
You don't get to do that.
You're wrong.
No.
You're wrong. That's not right.
You're wrong.
Was there a Super Bowl?
This is a first.
Hold on, Swaggoo. Was there a Super Bowl in 1965? Yes or no?
Would there be a Super Bowl in 1965?
You know what?
Listen.
Oh, you're out of line.
If Hair Club for Men was based out of New York City, I'd have been used it. Okay? The bottom line is you can't go by ifs and could'ves and would'ves, all right? The Super Bowl, there was not a Super Bowl in 1965.
But there was in 66 that the Packers win.
Okay, yes.
There was in 67 that the Packers win.
So that's back to back.
All right, would they have won in 65?
I would have. Yes, but they.
Yes,
there wasn't a Super Bowl in 1965.
That's not the point.
That is the point.
Hey, before we move on, Mad Dog, who's your team that you've
been legit say Super Bowl
rooting for your whole life?
Green Bay.
Let me make my point
here. Let me make my point here, please, because it's very, very simple. Swaggoo, you're wrong. And here's the reason why. You have to take into account some of the things that transpired. First of all, I don't think Cleveland's going to get any worse. What if Joe Burrow hadn't gotten hurt? What would Cincinnati look like? I look at stuff like that, and I say to myself, those two components alone, I say, you're Kansas City. You can't come back next year thinking you can win with the same crew. I'm not saying they're going to. Please don't get me wrong. But for the purposes of answering this direct question, does Mahomes need a number one receiver to complete a three-peat? I think that answer is yes. I don't think that you go from dropping 44 passes last year to next year not dropping any. I still think, regardless of what we want to say and the credit that we're not trying to take away from the receivers who stepped up in the postseason and handled their business, some of the troubles that they had during the regular season, I don't know if you can afford to come back with the potential for that, seeing that there's some teams on the come up. Chargers are going to be better. Burrow's going to be back in Cincinnati. Deshaun Watson, not Joe Flacco, should be the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And by the way, Nick Chubb is going to be there as well. We're expecting him back, and we know what a stud he is. And so I just look at some of the teams in the AFC, not to mention Baltimore. I think that, you listen, regardless of how poor I thought Lamar Jackson played, the bottom line is this. Zay Flowers don't fumble that football for the touchback, okay? And Lamar Jackson doesn't throw in a triple coverage. What are we looking at here? I just think those couple of plays ultimately cost them. They were still in a position to possibly win that game. I'm just looking at it from that standpoint, and I'm saying if you are Kansas City, I expect you to, but let's not act like you don't need to upgrade at the wide receiver spot. You most certainly do.
So let me get this straight. When we talk about number one receiver, we talk about guys that are in the upper echelon that we clearly know are number one receivers. So y'all telling me, we just watched Kansas City without a number one receiver the last 2 years win a Super Bowl, and we saying they can't three-peat? That they can't do it? Like, now, if you want to consider Travis Kelce the end-all be-all, and I get that he's going to be 1 year older, I understand that things change the landscape of the league. But we just watched the team without a number one receiver beat all of those teams y'all just talked about. By the way, the Buffalo Bills had a number one wide receiver this year. Guess who beat them in their house? The Kansas City Chiefs without a number one wide receiver. You and I, Stephen A., talked about Baltimore winning that game. You came over to that side and said, right now it's Lamar Jackson and that crew. Well, the team without a number one wide receiver went into Baltimore and won that game this year. And then we go to San Francisco, who you, me, and Mad Dog said they have the most weapons in the NFL. They got Christian McCaffrey. They got George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk playing out of his mind. Deebo Samuel playing out of his mind. Guess who beat them without a number one wide receiver in the Super Bowl? The Kansas City Chiefs. The previous year. Do you know that Joe Burrow them was in the playoffs with all of those top tier receivers? Guess who beat them without a number one wide receiver?
Kansas City Chiefs. Well, what about the year before when Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals beat them in the AFC Championship game? Let's not negate that.
Not only that,
you're the one that told me, and you've told me this so many occasions, you know, it's hard to repeat. Imagine how hard it is to three-peat. So you're getting everybody's A game. I'm simply talking about they can't afford to stand pat.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they can't win. They can't afford to say right, they got to upgrade the wide receiver spot.
The question is a number one wide receiver.
Yes, First of all, I don't think they need to upgrade that spot.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Do they need a number one wide receiver to complete a three-peat? We just saw him go back-to-back without one. That's my point.
Marcus is saying no. Marcus, it's love day. You have some time off. If you want to change and put some red on and get in the holiday spirit and put a smile on your face, you have a quick break to do so.
Holiday?
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LectricEbikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Jesse Owens ran so Alice Coachman could fly. Most Americans know the story of Owens winning 4 gold medals at the 1936 Berlin Olympics, striking an early blow against white supremacy of Adolf Hitler. Even after Owens became a hero, opportunities for women athletes, especially black women, remained slim. But down in Albany, Georgia, a teenage Alice Coachman was running barefoot through the fields along dirt roads so fast that she broke college AAU records while still in high school. Coachman starred for the Tuskegee Institute, but was denied Olympic glory when World War II canceled the 1940 and 42 games. In 1948, Coachman finally seized her legacy, winning the high jump to become the first African-American woman with an Olympic gold medal.
The Warriors are gearing up for a showdown tonight against the Clippers on ESPN, but Draymond Green still has a lot to say after Saturday's heated matchup against the Suns. During the game, Suns center Yusuf Nurkic and Draymond went back and forth, as this being the first matchup since Draymond was suspended for striking Nurkic in December. Draymond was also seen screaming at former teammate Kevin Durant after making a game-saving defensive stop in the closing moments of the Warriors' win. Here's Dre on his podcast with comments about Nurkic and Durant's response to his suspension and return.
Guys are making a habit out of that. Him and Kevin questioned my character before, you know, as if you go question somebody's character about a basketball game, as if this not real life, as if that don't affect people's pockets. Like, I think all of it was really cowardly, if you want my honest opinion. Yeah, I did what I did. I take my stuff on the chin. We've spoke about that. I still stand on that. I meant every word I said about it. But if you want to know the truth about that, I think all of us cowardly. So I think they all whack, both of them, if you want my honest opinion.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. All right, he's giving it to us straight. Stephen A., do you have a problem with Dre's comments on KD and Nurkic?
No, zero. I completely support Draymond Green on this. I want to be delicate here because Kevin Durant means no harm. He's a good brother. He's a great teammate. He don't talk about nobody. He don't talk about them behind their back. He don't leak stuff. He don't do any of that. That's not who he is. Kevin Durant does not roll like that. So let me be very, very clear. I am not accusing Kevin Durant of doing anything intentional to degrade, denigrate, or harm Draymond in any way. But at some point in time, you have to realize what you do. If you remember, Molly, I'm sitting right next to you, right here on this set, Eminem, Doggy. Y'all weren't there that day, and Nurkic had said what he said about Draymond, which was understandable because he's the one that got hit. But then when Kevin Durant was asked, he started talking about getting him the help that he needs. And I instantly had a problem with that. As a black man, we have a big-time problem. One of the reasons that I love, I use you as an example, so you have a right to know this. Mad Dog Russo, the one thing no one will accuse you of is being timid. The other thing no one will accuse you of is being soft-spoken. You are a vibrant communicator. You project big time. It's beautiful. You Mad Dog Russo, you're Hall of Fame. You deserve everything that you've received. And they love it. For years, I was called Screaming A. And it held me back. Because I raised my voice. I credit Mike Lupica. I credit you. I credit others who throughout the years have highlighted how when a black man is showing passion, he must be angry. When a white person is showing passion, it's passion. And so knowing that Kevin Durant, with Mr. 35 Ventures, his business acumen, some of the things that he's achieved in this world, and he will continue to achieve more. He knows about projecting. He knows about reputation. He knows how those things could serve to sully you. So when you speak about Draymond in the way that he did, although I don't believe he had malice intent at all, it was surprising to me that he didn't pick up how that would serve to further stigmatize Draymond Green, even though Draymond brought that on himself with his actions. And so when Nurkic was saying what he said, you know, to help and something's wrong with him, et cetera, et cetera, I'm like, damn, that's a contemporary in the league. Y'all know how this is going to affect him. And then when Kevin Durant, who had his issues with Draymond when they were teammates before they resolved it, once they became Olympic teammates and they sat down at Draymond's podcast and they had all of these conversations and they had their kumbaya moment and everything seemed cool, you thought it would end from there. Now, Nurkic is Kevin Durant's teammate now, not Draymond. And you saw what happened, so I get where you're coming from. But what Draymond was saying when he reacted the way that he reacted was that, speaking the way that y'all speak, y'all don't have any idea how this is going to affect me. You know it ain't going to help me. You know it's only going to serve to hurt me. You know it's going to further feed into the stigma that I've inflicted upon myself, but you damn sure ain't helping me right now. And I think that's the reaction that you saw from Draymond right there. It was, if it came from me, if it came from you, if it came from you, it would be different. But coming from a former teammate, you know, I think it hit him differently. And I think that's why you saw the reaction that you saw.
Yeah, I think that's a fair answer. I think the average fan, though, right now with Draymond would like to see him just go out. He's been in a lot of trouble, self-inflicted, soft suspension by the commissioner. I think a lot of fans would say, you know what? You won the ball game. You're playing better. How about laying low here? How about taking the high road and not even comment on what Durant says or Nurkic says or anything else? Leave it alone. Just go out there and play basketball. He played very well the other night when he had 15 points, 9 assists. He played a great game. Mm-hmm. Great performance.
Double, 7 rebounds.
Yeah, played a great game. And
went after Nurkic. Showed that he had some offense.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, obviously Curry makes a shot to beat. That was a great game. A lot of enthusiasm. How about letting it lay low a little bit? You know, we all know that Draymond's got a lot to say. But how about right now? You won the game. Teams won 5-6. Was it 6 in a row? 5-6 in a row. How about right now we take a little step back, not make this a major cause celeb, and just go out there and let the play on the court do the talking for you for the next couple of months. Is that fair to ask as a sports fan that maybe I don't have to have a little fight now between Durant and Draymond Green? It gets a little much every single time somebody says something, they take it the wrong way, they got to say something back, and it drives you crazy. How about everybody just be friends and play basketball for crying out loud?
Because then y'all don't want them sharing jerseys, and it's too friendly. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I don't want them too friendly.
All right, two things I got to address here. Mm-hmm. One, the back and forth was between Nurkic and Green. KD has not chimed in, to my knowledge, at this point of this conversation.
No, he did when they did the press conference.
Since the press conference.
Right, right, right.
In the podcast, the Draymond Green Show, specifically Draymond addresses Nurkic's comments. I listened to almost the entire pod this morning because I enjoy Draymond as a basketball savant, as a basketball mind. Mm. The biggest thing that I took issue with in his response was that if Nurkic hadn't fallen on the ground all crazy from the initial hit, he probably would not have been suspended.
Gotcha.
To me, that comment was a complete deflection of responsibility. The rest of it, I'm chalking it up to trash talk and chirping. Y'all want to go back and forth? Fine. You guys are elite athletes. Draymond's a champion. Kevin Durant is a champion. Nurkic has had the opportunity to play on teams that want to compete for championships. Fine. I'm cool with the trash talk. But I agree with you, Stephen A., in that there is a level of responsibility. I need the same acknowledgement and personal accountability that we had in a press conference when Draymond returned, as he acknowledged the stripes of a tiger, and I forget the exact analogy that he used, but the confidence that he had that he believed he could get through the season without incident, and that he had grown up and he had realized what he had cost his team. I'm cool with it. The one comment about Nurkic falling in the initial suspension was the thing. Yeah, I listened to the whole thing this morning. Was the one thing that bothered me. What you bring up is very interesting because coded language is real. It is very real, particularly when it comes to our community.
Right.
I'm with you to a point because I think it's very important to acknowledge intention. And maybe the next level of our growth as communities is to be able to say, so-and-so might need some help, and that is not a detriment. We all need some help at times, right? Mm-hmm. And so I hear where you're coming from, but this is solely based on your actions that have been above basketball mm-hmm. play that has gotten us to this point. And so I'm actually cool with it. Y'all just, they chirping.
Well, listen, I'm not cool with it. And I don't think Draymond is cool with it. But I want to be clear. I think that you're absolutely right. I don't think Kevin Durant had any malice intent at all. I'm certainly not saying that about Kevin Durant. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Kevin Durant is so highly intelligent. He's so smart and he's so accomplished. And when he speaks, you have no choice but to listen because you can't dismiss words that come out of Kevin Durant's mouth. If you're Draymond Green and you're hearing Kevin Durant saying, I hope he gets the help that he needs. Now, we know that for years, okay, we've all had to grow as a society. Mental health issues has become a very, very big deal and what have you. We understand we're not poo-pooing it. We're not dismissing the significance of it. However, it was dismissed for a very long time.
Agreed.
And from a societal perspective, mm-hmm. although we've embraced it now more so than we ever have before, it still doesn't negate the sting that you feel when you're hearing about that help that you may need from a contemporary, particularly if you haven't gotten to that point where you're as receptive as you need to be about feeling the need to have help or to mm-hmm. get help. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of it, if I'm Draymond Green, I could look on national television and I could say it's Stephen A., it's Mad Dog Russo, it's Eminem, it's Wendy, it's anybody else. And they're saying that, well, they ain't in this locker room with me. They didn't wear the same uniform as me. The personal relationship that I have with folks, they may not have with me. So there may be a level of understanding that they're not having, and they're just speaking from afar based on what we've seen, what I've put on display for them. I get that. But somebody with more intimate knowledge of who I am, all that I've gone through, all that I've endured, et cetera, as a former teammate of mine who was my teammate for 3 years, we went to 3 finals together. We went back-to-back NBA championships together. We had our issues with one another from time to time, particularly the last year where he said, where it was clear that he was looking to move on, and we had some friction thereafter before we resolved matters. To now come back and this happens, and to hear from you, okay, I hope he gets the help. So, why would Draymond say what he said? He said what he said because he's saying, what did he say, Eminem? He said, People are not taking into account how this affects your reputation, your character, and your money.
But Stephen A., when you don't want somebody to have comments based on something that could impact your reputation, your character, and your money, you don't act. You don't give them the action. Well, my thing is,
I'm not condoning Draymond.
I got you. Right, so perhaps the timeline is maybe where we begin to waffle. But essentially, when he got suspended, the Warriors organization acknowledged that he needed some support.
Right.
And so now, because of the timeline, it is still not, true.
But you got to remember, no, it's not about truth because I didn't say that Kevin Durant said anything
false.
That's
what I'm saying. So
what I'm saying is, and that night at the press conference, when it happened, were the words, you know, if you know anything about Draymond, he held on to it. That's what he heard.
Of course.
And you know that what he took from Joe Lacob, what he took from Mike Dunleavy Jr., what he took from Steve Kerr, what he took from Steph Curry, what he took from Klay Thompson is entirely different than what he's going to take from Kevin Durant in that moment.
Okay.
So the Draymond Green that just spoke is the Draymond Green that's reacting to what Kevin Durant said weeks ago.
Copy.
Weeks ago. And I'm saying that's what stings. So him responding to that, I understand it.
I got you. So I'm saying to you, the counterpoint, the issue is with the messenger and not the message.
Correct.
Because we heard the message from the organization.
Correct. Correct.
Which is cool.
But that's what
he's
saying.
Right. And which is why I chalk this all up to some trash talk at the end of the day.
Okay. It ain't trash talk. Not with that. It's not trash talk with that. I'm just telling you.
Trash talk with some substance behind it.
No.
Yeah.
It's a little
supportive
bit.
Supportive substance?
It's
Draymond is hurt that Durant got on him. Is that what this comes down
basically,
to?
Basically, he feels betrayed.
By Durant.
Betrayed. He didn't notice it. He might have said cowardly and Nurkic and all. He ain't worried about that guy. He don't know that dude that well. That ain't it. But he's feeling a little different about. I haven't spoken to him about it, but I believe that's what he's feeling.
Just leave it alone and play.
I agree.
Why even bring it up?
It's not going to be left alone. That is the Draymond we have come to love.
And podcast. He wants to give you some good information.
Yeah,
he wants to have
left
some
alone.
Content. Yeah. He wants to sell the podcast.
There's a lot of good in the conversation besides this little back and forth. He wants to sell a podcast.
That's fine, good, and dandy. But that doesn't mean that's like somebody sitting up there and saying, well, Doggy is just doing this because he's doing his radio show.
No, I think he means it.
He means it.
I think so. I'm not disputing that.
I mean it. That's what I'm saying. He means it.
I just wouldn't have brought it up. I think he is fair.
Okay.
I just wouldn't have.
I got to get in a commercial break.
You do?
Okay. I do. To be continued. If anybody has more comments, it's available after this commercial break right now that we're going to take.
Lady and Red
program
is
called First Take.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Big moment for Shaq last night. The Magic retired his jersey in Orlando, where he spent the first 4 years of his career and led them to their first ever NBA Finals appearance. Shaq is just the fourth player to have his jersey retired with at least three different franchises, along with Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Pete Maravich. Okay, Mad Dog.
Yeah.
My fellow historian.
Yes.
My fellow professor.
Oh, my God.
Fellow angry dog. Tell me this. Are you good with the Magic?
Maverick, by the way, with New Orleans, he had the L.A., you know, he went to LSU. So that it's really kind of two. Listen, I'm a Shaq fan, and I was in Orlando when I got the team. I saw Pat Williams and all the guys. He was there 4 years. They got swept by the Bulls horrifically in his last year. They got murdered by Elijah Wan. Why don't we, where Scott Skiles is next? I mean, my goodness gracious. He bailed. He went to the Lakers, and the Magic fell apart for eons. I got to be fair. I mean, you got to be. It's 4 years. They did not win. They got smoked in the final, and all power to them. D'Amato got him out of there to go play with Kobe in L.A., for crying out loud. Yet now we're going to retire his jersey? That's a little rough. I can see if they won a championship. I can see if they beat Jordan and they got mauled by the Bulls they got killed.
They got destroyed.
They got killed.
And he was pretty good.
You don't think he put Orlando on the map?
Oh, no.
And that's where he made his name?
No. Lakers.
Definitely made his name.
Lakers.
Okay.
Lakers.
Okay.
This is, you cannot be, this is ridiculous. I mean, again, Scout, how about Nick Anderson? We'll do him too. Dennis Scott.
Let's Stephen A. I want to hear from Stephen A.
I'm going to say this to you. In Shaq's four seasons with the Magic, 27.2 points per game, second in the NBA to Michael Jordan.
led the league 58% shooting all 4 years, averaged 12.5 rebounds, which also led the NBA. Four All-Star selections in 4 seasons, reached an NBA Finals, went to 2 Conference Finals. Having said that, to shock the world, I agree with Doggy.
Wow.
I agree with Doggy.
Well, Hal is right.
Let me say this. I understand what the Magic is doing, and I'm getting ready to drop that. But from a basketball perspective, when you talk about retiring jerseys, there's usually a significantly lengthier period of time that you spent with the franchise. That was not what happened here. Now, I will say this. The Orlando Magic have never won a championship, okay? So we got to take that into consideration. He is clearly the greatest player in franchise history. We have to acknowledge that. We also have to acknowledge the fact that, I mean, again, what else do you have to cheer for? And here's the biggest thing. He still lives there. He still has a home there. All of those years, whether he was in L.A., Miami, or anywhere else, he never gave up his crib. When he retired, okay, when he retired, when he announced his retirement, Shaquille O'Neal did it from his home in Orlando. How will I know? I was there. It's the same crib that he's had. He loves it there. He loves the people there. He's very philanthropic, very charitable. He is entrenched in that Orlando community. They love the ground he walks on. So it makes sense. But what Doggy is saying from a purely basketball standpoint, to be there just 4 years.
You just made the argument against yourself. Go ahead,
and these
Monica.
Things are not purely basketball.
Yeah.
Like, I get where you're coming from. But they're not purely basketball.
Which is why I said I understand it.
Right.
But he's talking purely basketball. I'm saying purely from a basketball standpoint, he makes a case.
I completely agree.
That's
with
what
the
I'm
case
saying.
Been made, and I think the sticking point in the case actually for me is kind of honestly the way that organization has struggled, frankly, since his departure.
Of course.
Well, they did get to a final with Dwight Howard. Why don't we go out there and put him, make him out
here? Probably next.
You know I had that.
Three-time defensive player of the year.
And they won a game in the final. Shaq didn't. So why don't we make him that guy?
It's Shaq.
Huh?
It's Shaq. He's one of the most
famous
players ever.
The legend grows.
Okay. I'm going to try to repeat myself.
No.
Because evidently you didn't hear me.
No,
what I said was, is that from a basketball perspective, in terms of when that usually happens, that's usually reserved for somebody who spends a lengthier period of time, not just 4 years.
If you all here, but, let's do this, because you're a brilliant businessman. If you own the Orlando Magic,
right,
would you retire Shaq's jersey
yes,
and have that
I
moment?
Just, yes, because, again, what I said was he's entrenched. Well, I'm kind of sick, so you're taking advantage when I'm still sick, but that's okay. You're going to pay. She knows I'm going to get it back.
Listen.
So when I get you back, don't get upset, because I got all year to get you.
Shaq,
but I'm just not healthy today.
Shaq will be bopping around this weekend in Indianapolis at the Celebrity Game.
The Orlando Magic did the right thing for their organization and their city because of what he means to them. But from Doggy's historical basketball perspective, people who play 4 years at a place and don't have a championship to show for it don't get their jerseys retired and hanging in the rafters. That, especially when you left town to go to Los Angeles when they wanted to keep you. And Jerry West came and got you.
Okay, relax. It's Valentine's Day. Let's try to all be nice.
That's all.
Coming up next on First Take. Monica, I'll miss you.
I know, it was fun. Happy Valentine's Day.